The Dragon Boat Festival, let's get it right. The Dragon Boat Festival, also called Duanwu Festival, is celebrated on the fifth day of the fifth month, according to the Chinese lunar calendar. For thousands of years, the festival has been marked by eating zongzi, or glutinous rice that's nuomi, wrapped to form in the shape of a pyramid using bamboo or reed leaves. And racing dragon boats is also something that we would do on this day. As we're celebrating the traditional festival today in China, let's talk about all the interesting things about the holiday. First of all, guys, let's go down the list. What are the things that you just sort of have to do on Duanwu Festival?
I'm going to say eating zongzi. And that is just my two cents on it, because eating is like the most important thing for Chinese people when it comes to festivals. It's always different kind of special food, and it's very interesting. But other than that, there are also a lot of things we can do. Take the name, for example, Dragon Boat Festival. So you can have a dragon boat race. And that is for people who are living in areas where there are a lot of water area, like in southern part of China. And also, we can do things like hanging the icon of Zhongkui. Zhongkui is a immortal in Chinese traditional, I'm not going to say fairy tale, but stories, as in he drives all the ghosts away, all the evils away. So in this day, we hang the picture of him in front of the doors so that we drive the evil away and welcome the happiness and goodness to come to our home. And also, since this day is pretty much the start of summer, so ancient Chinese people believe that the start of summer may become a time of the year where people are easy to get some kind of disease or feel under the weather somehow. So they wanted to do something to make sure that don't happen to them. And that is when they hang some mugwort and calamus leaves and in front of the door, or just burn them in the house so that the diseases and uncleaning things would go away. And that's pretty much what people do.
Well, I know that I personally love to drink Shanghuangjiu, or Rilger wine, and balance eggs on its end, because isn't it said that if you balance an egg on this day at noon, it's lucky?
Yeah, but it's really hard to do.
Yeah, I don't actually think I've ever achieved it, but these are some of the things I love since coming to China. You know, while I was in the United States, I've actually never heard of this holiday before, so.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And Jessica, hats off to you. You're doing more on this holiday than I have ever done, because I didn't even know about the wine until until I got that information from a popular TV show in China in the 1990s. And
yes,
obviously
the
talking
snake lady.
To you. Yes, you know her.
Yes.
You know of her. Yeah. And also balancing the egg, that is something that, you know, I've actually learned recently until, you know, doing this show and actually doing Roundtable has made me learn so much from you guys, and thank you for that. And also, speaking of feeling a little bit under the weather, as during this time of the year, and also it's sort of a change of seasons as summer starts to kick in, and it's easy to get a bit ill. And it's interesting that our ancestors found a way to fend off disease, or at least ceremonially. And I think that's what Ryan needs too, as the amazing awesome Ryan Price. We love him on the show, but today he's feeling a little bit under the weather. So I guess he didn't perform those rituals.
I guess not. But I do know the most important things today are the dragon boats, dragon boat racing, and, of course, the traditional food, which is zongzi.
Yes.
Yeah, you pronounced the word zongzi quite well, by the way. And when it comes to zongzi, I think one interesting thing is how we translate it. And we've discussed this and internet netizens discuss this quite a lot. And they're saying that, you know, when it comes to zongzi, let's just call it zongzi instead of like rice, sweet dumplings or things like that.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't paint the picture. And we say pizza all the time in Chinese as well. We don't say a round cake with meat on it, and we understand the concept perfectly. So I recommend to our dear listeners that in the future, you just use the word 粽, and when people ask you what that is, you can explain it to them.
Exactly. Instead of just saying a sticky rice dumpling, which does not do it justice at all.
Yeah, I think you guys make very good point, and it is time to make the term 粽, maybe migrate into English, or at least make people understand what it is, as it is very different from what we usually call dumplings. As with 粽子, you need special kind of leaf, could be a reed leaf, lotus leaf, or banana leaves if we're talking about people who live in Hainan, the very southern part of China. I think people pretty much use whatever they have in their locality to be the leaf that wraps the glutinous rice together. And I think it's important for people to know, if you don't live in China, that this leafy wrap cannot be eaten. That is purely for, part of it is ornamental, but also very practical to keep all that rice and stuffing together.
Yeah, I feel like this is actually one of China's few finger foods, because can't you eat it with just your hands? It's not going to be impolite. Whereas I think most foods in China, if I don't eat it with chopsticks or a utensil, it'll come off as a little impolite, right? So could this be considered a finger food, or do I have to eat this with chopsticks?
Well, that's a tricky one, as Niu Honglin is shaking her head a little bit.
Yeah, I don't think you need to use a chopsticks. You can just unwrap the 粽子 and then eat it. But I wonder, what kind of flavor do you prefer? Because when it comes to festive food, we often have this discussion about how it's supposed to be, as in different people have really different beliefs, and it's beliefs because they hold a very strong opinion towards this, as in, does the 粽子 need to be salty or sweet?
Well, coming from the U.S., I definitely like sweet food better. So I think I really like sweet 粽子, and the first time I tried a savory 粽子, I didn't realize it was savory, so I bit into it. And there's nothing more surprising when you really think a food is something and it's actually something else.
So I'm interested in your immediate reaction. Were you like, ew!
Yeah, I'm like that.
and spit it out, or you try to maintain your table manners and just kept it in?
Of course you have to try and maintain your composure.
Oh,
calm,
good for you,
cool.
Jessica. Good for you.
But unfortunately, I don't know how my poker face is, because I think someone may have noticed. They said, what is wrong with my 粽子 that I gave you? I said, no, it's great.
It's really interesting that Chinese people hold it very strongly, whether it's the savory or the sweet flavor, as we have in the 粽子, it almost defines where you come from. And I guess Chinese people really do take this very seriously. Niu Honglin, I know you're from Shanxi,
yes,
which is a very, I'd say, a great province with much history and strong local custom when it comes to cuisine.
Mm-hmm.
So for you, is it sweet or savory when it comes to 粽子?
I gotta say, it's always sweet. And I think I can be a representative of the people living in the northern part of China, as in, I think Beijing people also love 粽子 when it's sweet. And actually, according to some articles, this Beijing 粽子 can be a represents of most of the 粽子 in the northern part of the country. It is big in size, it's pyramid, or it's triangles. You can imagine a kind of a 粽子 with like four surfaces, and all of the surfaces are triangles. So think about it that way. Draw a picture if you need, or buy a 粽子 if you need. And most of the 粽子 are made of glutinous rice with some date in it, and you can dip it in sugar, and that's what I think of 粽子. And for me, it's always a kind of dessert, or a kind of, well, I just don't take it as regular staple food. That is why I don't think it should be salty. And yeah, that's weird, because I've tried the 糯米鸡. That's also a sticky rice wrapped in lotus leaves with sometimes meat in it, but when it's that, I'm okay with it. But thinking about zongzi, it's always, it has to be sweet.
I see what you mean. So it's almost like you're messing with my head.
Yeah.
I'm expecting a main course, but you are giving me dessert for Southern people. But for Niu Honglian, who represents a lot of us Northerners, then I'm expecting dessert. Don't give me the main course.
Exactly. But I guess you have an appetite for salty zongs or meaty zongs.
Well, I always have an appetite for meat. I guess I do enjoy meat, and I totally respect those who are vegetarians, but and I try not to be too imposing, but still, when they tell me that they're vegetarian, I try to bring them back to mainstream, as I think that's better for you. No, that's just joking. And when it comes to zongzi, certainly vegetarian or meaty, oh, that's a choice you need to make.
Well, I want to know, is there any other kind of flavors between just savory, like a salty and sweet? Like in Sichuan is known for their spicy food. Can you have spicy zongzi?
That's something that I think is too much for me, as even for regular dishes, I don't necessarily like those spices in my mouth when they're like little grenades that explode. Mm-hmm. But for Sichuan people, would they have spicy zongzi Niu Honglian?
Yes, they do.
Oh, wow. And well, I'm not surprised.
My voice,
I shouldn't be surprised.
My voice is not happy because it's just so weird for me. But they do have spicy zongzi. And what they do is to kind of change the salty one into the spicy one. They add salty spicy ingredient and preserved ham and Sichuan peppers into the zongzi, and then there you go, spicy.
Well, you know what? If anyone has a recipe for a spicy sweet zongzi, ooh, I would love to try it.
That's interesting, a mix, and I think that's just made the flavor of zongzi so more complex, and that'd be so interesting to try that out. And recently, I've seen some pretty innovative moves when it comes to zongzi flavor, I suppose, as even Starbucks or I think KFC reportedly have come up with zongzi to cater towards the Chinese palate. How are they doing in that regard? Why are you shaking your head, Niu Honglian?
So desperate. They don't have to do that, but they're doing it. And I think it's just, they're just changing the shape of their food. Take Starbucks, for example. They're not actually providing you with zongzi. They're providing you with a zongzi-shaped dessert.
Yes. It's,
yeah, you have, sometimes you have ice cream in it, you can have chocolate in it, and you have this sticky rice wrapping out of all the fillings. So it's pretty much a zongzi-shaped dessert instead of a zongzi itself. I call that desperate.
I have to say, to this day, whenever I see a red bean in any kind of cake, I still think it's chocolate, and I bite in disappointed. So I'm going to give Starbucks a commendation here, since when I bite into it, it's not red bean, it is chocolate.
So you like it?
I do.
Yeah.
So is it like a little taste of heaven?
Maybe it's an Americanized version.
I know one thing that Ryan would enjoy, actually, is the chocolate of anything. So if zongzi has been made with chocolate filling, I think that guy would enjoy it very much. Ryan, I know you are not feeling well today. You're very much missed on the show. See, we're still thinking of you.
Yeah, we'll miss you.
Yes, and yes, maybe I should get him some of those chocolate zongzi after the show to make his day maybe a little bit better. And hope you get well soon, Ryan. And yes, I've been looking at all types of flavors of zongzi, and I've been doing a little bit of recollection of my memory to think of the best zongzi I've ever had, as it's always been a bit of a luxurious thing for my family as we grew up. As it, you only have it on one day, and when I grew up in Beijing, it was, I guess neither of my parents were that domestic to make it ourselves, so we always had to buy it, and I remember it used to be the pretty plain ones with only I say only using today's standards, as there's so many fancy options out there. The dates that you put in, and then you use a little bit of sugar sort of as coating as you unwrap the lotus leaf and bite into it, and it tastes so nice. And my mom, she's a little bit of a traditionalist, so the red bean paste is the filling she enjoys. Not chocolate, but the red bean paste. That's what puts a smile on that lady's face. And we would have that together. It's also been made into a bit of a family gathering kind of thing. And only, I was a little surprised, as you guys provided me with the information, that in 2008, when this became a national holiday, as you take a day off. And sometimes it's been made into a long weekend holiday, as we're doing most of the nation are doing it today, and we're working here today. And also, I remember last year, because I really wanted to change things up a little bit and spice things up a little bit, and I'm an independent young woman today. I earn my own money. I thought I'll buy a super luxurious zongzi that cost me quite a bit, and just to change things up on the family dinner table. So I bought this gigantic zongzi with abalone and dried scallops.
Ooh.
As filling.
That's fancy.
So very savory, right?
Very savory. And I think I always like savory more than the sweet. That's because it shows me that my living standard has improved, that I can have a more of a rich filling. And it's not the some people find it very sweet and simple. That's a good thing, but I like things to be a little bit more on the savory side, so rich, and I can eat it as a staple food or as a main dish, so to speak. And yes, when you wrap such huge and luxurious fillings into the zongzi, then you have to make it big. So that zongzi I had, I call it the most luxurious and the highlight of all of my zongzi experience, was as big as at least two of my fists put together.
Mm.
And I think it was very nice. I enjoyed it very much. And I think it's delicious, not only because of its own taste, but also it's a change. And when your whole family's sitting around the dinner table, and I told my parents, Mom and Dad, I brought the zongzi back to put on the family dinner table. So for me, you know, it's all a bit of a special memory, so to speak. So yeah, that's my zongzi memory.
So do you have other zongzi memories while you're eating the zongzi with your family? Do you ever watch Dragon Boat races on TV, or have you ever gone to see one?
Oh, that is a good question. I don't understand why that I've never done it. As those who live in Beijing, I think it's kind of difficult to see a live dragon race kind of thing. Boat race.
I thought they had some at Hohai, maybe.
Oh,
maybe.
Well, I should be more up
be
in date with these things. But I always have a question towards this dragon boat name of it, because for me, I've
read some books. I am not in that culture, but maybe in traditional Western culture, I feel like dragons are negative image. They are scary. They blow out fire, and they kidnap princesses. So with the dragon boat image, when you see the word, if you don't know, you have no idea what the dragon boat is, if you see the word, what's the image in your head these days?
Well, I think, yeah, some people think the old British folklore is about slaying a dragon. So, you know, dragons could represent something evil. But actually, in today's society, when I think of dragon, I think of powerful and cool. And I think these are the two words that come to my mind when I think of a dragon. And I know that Eastern culture has really influenced the view of a dragon. So really, I think a dragon boat sounds like a really cool boat.
That's one thing I can agree with. And absolutely, I think the East and West look so differently at the dragon. As traditionally in the Oriental cultures, we see dragon as more closely related to maybe fish than to a animal. As when you look at ancient drawings of dragons, especially when the knight is to slay the dragon to protect and rescue the princess, you see the dragon with four can I say feet and claws?
It's more like a dinosaur in the West.
But here in China, we always see dragons as they're powerful and they float in the sky. And during the thousands of feudal history we have here in China, imperial history, that's been closely associated with the imperial court and the ultimate form of power that is bestowed in the hands of the emperor. So it's really interesting how dragon has been allowed to be put as a symbol of this holiday. And also, I think dragon boat racing is one of the very few things of this holiday that still remains today that we see as, yes, that's the practice to do on this festival, and it's not just about eating. Do you think that these kind of practices are the things that keeps an ancient festival alive in today, a 21st century China?
Yeah, I think the festival is growing up in a way, because the more traditional thing about Duanwu festival is that you want to keep the evil away, you want to make sure you're healthy for the rest of the year. So that is more of the hanging the herbs in front of the door or burning it inside the homes kind of ratio. But later on, because of the poet Qu Yuan, who's supposed to be, I guess, the first poet in China, and people wanted to celebrate him, memorize him, and prevent his body from being eaten by the fishes, so we drop the zongzi into the river. And when we're doing that, we also try to collect his body by using the dragon boat. So those rituals are like growing onto the festival, and the festival is growing up, and so are our traditions.
Yes, and I also like to ask you guys, with all those interesting history like kept in mind, why do you think that there is this divide between East and West with the sour and savory preference of zongzi?
You mean South and North?
Yes. South and North.
Yes. Well, I don't know, but I guess it's interesting in the North that they usually eat more savory foods. So I guess, you know, the sweet dumpling, the sweet zongzi can be actually less common here, whereas in the South, it's a common meal.
Yeah, for me, it's always like, you know, France and England, they are so close to each other and the cuisines are so different. We're a big country. It's okay to have different flavor of zongzi.
Yes, I guess so. And it has to be sweet in the North and meaty, more meaty than sweet in the South. You're listening to Roundtable.